Hello and welcome to Kayncast, a podcast that provides commentary on the economy and financial markets by the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management Team.
Hello, this is Ben Falcone, Managing Director with Kayne Anderson Rudnick. And with me today, I have Young Kim, Portfolio Manager of the KAR International Small Cap Strategy. Welcome, Young. Non-U.S. equity markets outperformed significantly in the first quarter. Can you provide your observations on the first quarter's performance for international and emerging small and mid-cap equities?
Yeah, sure. As you pointed out, international markets have indeed outperformed the U.S. And why was it the case? Well, I would say that there were several factors behind it, but the biggest driver in our view was valuation. If you look back at the beginning of the year, U.S. equities were trading near the top of their historical valuation range at a P/E multiple of around 30 times for the S&P 500, whereas the price-to-earnings multiple of the MSCI World Index, excluding the U.S., was only at around 14 times. So we have observed a rotation out of highly valued U.S. technology companies into non-U.S. equities that are trading at deeply discounted valuations, particularly into value-oriented stocks, which is partly why the financial sector was one of the best performing sectors during the quarter. And I would also say that it wasn't just a valuation re-rating story. In Germany, for example, which is, you know, Europe's largest economy, stocks really surged as the government vowed to do whatever it takes, quote unquote, to increase military and infrastructure spending, making a historic shift in fiscal policy. That was a big deal. And in emerging markets, I would say the noteworthy observations were the outperformance of China and the underperformance of India. In China, enthusiasm around DeepSeek's technological advancements in AI really fueled a broader rally in China, especially around tech companies. And the Chinese government also announced new measures to boost income, with the aim of boosting consumer spending and stabilizing the economy. So those things really helped in China. And India, you know, it declined off of a very high valuation level, especially in small and mid-cap space, as the economy showed signs of slower growth and earnings were revised downward. And lastly, I would say the thing I would point out is that a meaningful component of the non-U.S. market outperformance was driven by the weaker dollar.
Young, the U.S. dollar weakness and a shift to more potential aggressive fiscal spending policies in Europe has given optimism to ex-U.S. markets. Do you think this can continue?
Well, the short answer is we don't know, and these things are hard to predict. But we do recognize that the U.S. dollar has been on a strong run for a very long time. So some reversion to the mean could last longer than just a quarter, I would say. What's really interesting for me to see today is the continuing weakness of the U.S. dollar in the midst of a risk-off market environment. And even more unusual is the rise in long-term Treasury bond yields, while the U.S. stock market is signaling a rising concern about a U.S. recession. Because as you know, typically when investors are worried about a recession, capital flows to safe haven assets, and U.S. Treasury bonds have always been one of the go-to places for investors who seek safety. Well, this may indicate that global investors are starting to question whether warrantedly or not the risk-free, quote-unquote, status of Treasury bonds and even the U.S. dollar status as the reserve currency of the world. It is somewhat unimaginable that these things are challenged, to be honest, but it is really fascinating to see all these developments.
Young, can you discuss a few of the portfolio holdings that were key contributors and detractors to performance for the first quarter?
Yeah, the top two contributors were Haw-Par Corporation and a company by the name of Free. Haw-Par is a Singapore-based conglomerate that is involved in various businesses, of which by far the largest business is banking through its investment in one of the largest banks in Singapore with a strong reputation and a consistent financial track record over many decades. And during the quarter, Haw-Par announced a special dividend that amounted to around 9% of the market cap. So I think the stock market really reacted positively to that news. And Free is a Japanese company that provides cloud-based enterprise resource planning software. And they sell primarily to small and medium-sized businesses in Japan. And I think Free's outperformance was mainly driven by solid business results. The company reported results that showed continued growth and margin expansion, which was particularly impressive because we saw that its peers were reporting weaker results. And other top contributors included Mortgage Advice Bureau, Ooh Media, and Marklines. In terms of detractors, the biggest culprits were Surana Manara and FDM Group. Surana Manara is one of the leading telecom tower and fiber network operators in Indonesia. And the business is facing some headwinds in the form of higher interest rates and two large customer consolidation events happening over a relatively short period of time. And FDM is a UK-based IT services company, and the company is going through a weak demand environment following a surge in IT services demand during and right after the pandemic. So the recent business results, you know, that the company released have honestly been uninspiring, and that really led to the underperformance of the stock. Other detractors were AJ Bell, Kainos Group, and Integrafin.
Young, can you discuss both the impact of higher global trade tariff policies on the strategy and if any companies are particularly impacted in your international strategies?
Well, this is not an easy question. The situation is fluid and we don't know what the end game will look like. So it is really difficult for us to discuss potential impact. However, what I can say is that tariffs in general will lead to a reduction in global trade and potentially lead to inflation, which in turn will lead to weaker consumption, delays in investment decisions by companies, and a generally weaker global economy. So certainly not positive. And as it relates to our portfolio companies held in our international strategies, the vast majority of our businesses do not engage in trade and are, for the most part, domestically geared, and as a result, will not be directly affected by the tariffs. However, no business is really immune to a slowing global economy, and we expect to see varying degrees of indirect impact depending on how the tariff negotiations go in the coming months or quarters.
Young, where do you feel most concerned and most optimistic throughout the rest of 2025?
Well, the tit-for-tat escalation between the U.S. and China, which, by the way, are the two largest economies in the world, could have wide-ranging implications. So that is certainly something that is of concern to me, to be honest. But I'm hoping that there will be some sort of a de-escalation soon. As we are recording this, I see news that the Trump administration has just announced exemptions for smartphones from reciprocal tariffs, along with other electronic products. So I guess you could argue that this is somewhat of a positive sign, although at the same time, it is also clear that the U.S. administration wants to reduce the trade deficit. So it's really hard to know, you know, how things will play out from here. And this is certainly of most concern to me at the moment. On the other hand, I would say I feel optimistic about Europe and emerging markets overall, because valuations are relatively more attractive in many countries in these regions, and there are several factors that could drive growth in the near term. Like I mentioned earlier, European countries are rethinking their fiscal policies to invest in defense and infrastructure, while China, though not without its challenges, seems very committed to revitalizing its economy, and it has many tools with which it can counter the negative impact from the tariffs.
Young, thank you for taking the time to provide your insight to our Canecast listeners.
You've just listened to Canecast. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify. For more of our investing insights, head over to our website, www.cane.com. Canecast is the official podcast series of Kane Anderson Rudnick Investment Management, CAR. This material is provided as a matter of general information and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast or research. The opinions expressed herein are those of the speakers and are not necessarily the opinions of Carr or its affiliates, are current as of the date and time of the recording, and are subject to change at any time due to changes in market or economic conditions. The information and opinions contained in this material are derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources deemed by Carr to be reliable and are not necessarily all-inclusive. Carr does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of this information. This communication should not be construed as an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any security. Individuals should consult with a qualified financial professional before making any investment decisions. Reliance upon information in this material is at the sole discretion of the listener. To the extent any performance is discussed, past performance is not indicative of future results.